Welcome to the Agency in Focus, SOCOM, sponsored by Leidos. Now, here's your host, Tom Temin.
Data is becoming more and more important to the military. With so many avenues for finding it, commands like special operations need a way to form terabytes of data into usable intelligence. At the recent GEOINT 2018 symposium, hosted by the U.S. Geospatial Intelligence Foundation, SOCOM Commander General Raymond Thomas explained how his people collaborated with organizations like the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency and the Defense Innovation Board to help SOCOM use data to carry out its critical missions.
U.S. SOCOM, as you may know, is both a voracious consumer, some of you would say an insatiable consumer of intelligence, but also a prolific producer, ranging through all the classic disciplines, including GEOINT, special intelligence, human intelligence, FMV, and reams of captured enemy material. And before I go much further, I want to thank Robert Cardillo and the NGA team for their historic support to my organization. The term partner is bandied about too freely. In fact, sometimes it's a euphemism for something that doesn't really smack of a partner. I reserve the term teammate for a special breed of organizations, and one that NGA has earned in spades. So thanks Robert, and to NGA for the extraordinary teaming over time. With approximately 8,000 special operations teammates in over 90 countries, it is not hyperbole to state that the ability to effectively and quickly digest, analyze, and most importantly, disseminate information determines the success or failure of current and future missions. The ability to rapidly collect, understand, and share data of operational or intelligence value across our formations and with our diverse partners is vital to the successful conduct of special operations. U.S. SOCOM embodies driving data to decisions and actions. And as we do so, we are certainly not alone. We work closely with intelligence, defense, interagency, academic, and industry partners to get after the hard problems, or more importantly, the opportunities that data avails. So my mission today is to speak to this group of GEOINT professionals to leave you with a sense of what U.S. SOCOM is doing, where we want to go, and how this group is instrumental in getting us there. Undersecretary Kernan challenged the GEOINT community, both the government and commercial spheres, to find solutions to make sense of the massive volume of data available. In fiscal year 2017, we collected 127 terabytes of data in captured enemy material alone. Every year, the number increases exponentially. To put it in perspective, the Osama bin Laden raid resulted in only 2.7 terabytes of data. And 127 terabytes of data doesn't include the countless hours of FMV, full motion video, publicly available information, and information collected through other means. I usually refer to that as the Indiana Jones warehouse of data. U.S. SOCOM is actively participating in efforts to uncover the next huge step in leveraging our extraordinary intelligence capabilities. That is in the area of deep learning, cognitive computing, and advanced intelligence. It's not a big bet. It's, as we call it, facts on ground. Early in my command, about 2 years ago, we hosted a visit from, it was actually honchoed by my great boss and mentor, retired Admiral Bill McCraven, bringing in the Defense Innovation Group. Now, I know for some of you that's an oxymoron, but it was the Defense Innovation Group. After spending the day with us, the senior member of the group, the CEO for Alphabet, Eric Schmidt, felt compelled to give me a report card. I thought that was a bold move on his part, but he's not lacking for self-confidence. He told me three things. The first thing he said is, you guys clearly hired some amazing people. I thought, check. People are our most important asset. In fact, they're a decisive advantage. If you took nothing else away, that was a good takeaway. He then gave us props for prototyping effectively. He said, you guys seem to prototype well. You seem to get onto things and get them in the field, so I'll give you credit there. Truthfully, we've been failing fast long before most business books were written about it. But it was the third comment that really stuck with me. He used some colorful language. I'll just say that he said, General, you are terrible at deep learning. He was more colorful than that. He went on to say, I know you live in a world of wicked problems, but I bet if I spent a moment, a bit of time under your tent, I could solve every one of your wicked problems to simple up-down switches by the application of advanced algorithms and mathematics. He was absolutely certain he was right, and I was absolutely certain I was about to bounce him out of the car here on Bayshore Avenue. Luckily, I had a moment to think about what he said. My impulsive reaction was, you have no idea how complex and human-centric our business is. And then it struck me that he was absolutely right. Most of our critical processes across the domains of processing, exploitation and dissemination, publicly available information, captured enemy material, to name a few, would be drastically improved by leveraging the methods that industry is already putting to very effective use. Right now, giants, and I don't need to name them, of their own volition, driven as much by indemnification concerns as anything else, have entered the counter-violent extremist organization business, effectively discerning individuals on the internet, residing on nefarious sites, and directing them to more benign locations. I want to know how they are doing that on an industrial level. We, as it applies to our ability to see the world in time and space. Many will think that I'm referring merely to in terms of our historic counterterrorism mission. Just think of the potency of that approach to the far more daunting mission of DOD coordinator for countering weapons of mass destruction that we just picked up within this last year. By the way, he literally laughed at me when I described how we were choking on terabytes of data. They live in a world of routinely digesting and leveraging petabytes, or exabytes, or zettabytes, or yottabytes. I had to research it this morning, I can't keep up with it. SOCOM is invested in working with the NGA and the broader community of geoengineering professionals. With NGA, we have collaborated on a number of projects, including 3D geospatial modeling and simulation and artificial intelligence. We are fortunate to have 75 NGA support personnel under our support team leader, Mr. Barry Schuller, at the headquarters. They have been incredible partners as we move into the future. And as we move into the future, I want to show you where SOCOM is headed. I thought the best way to go to the future is actually go back to the past. Come back with me, if you will, to the year 2003. And before I lose track as I get into my fervor for where we need to go, let me highlight our decisive advantage on the far left-hand side of that slide. That's Sergeant Major retired Chuck Gary, who was critically wounded a couple years after the episode that I'm about to describe. On this particular day in 2003, Chuck and his team were coming off what was a successful raid in Iraq. You would not have known it was successful based on the after-action report and the commentary that he provided to my boss at the time, General Stanley McChrystal. Chuck approached McChrystal very aggressively with a whiteboard behind him and literally doodled out that scheme in about five to 10 minutes. And his bottom line was, we're good, but you need to make us so much better. And at the time, this is 2003, mind you, he drew everything that he thought was in the sensor array out there. And humorously, you'll see up top, He drew one platform, one ISR, looks a little bit like a Predator, might be a Reaper, you get the idea. But back in the day, we had none of that. We might see one, certainly not the proliferation of ISR that we have now. We had our own mechanism. You can see in the middle there, he had a helicopter with a full motion video ball on that. We were leading edge in that regard, but his demand was, I want it all, and I want it all on a 3x3 screen on my watch. I also want a local access network so I can operate no matter where I am. And again, if you don't think this is visionary, right now in Syria, we're in the most aggressive EW environment on the planet from our adversaries. They're testing us every day, knocking our communications down, disabling our AC-130s, et cetera. But this visionary among his teammates said, bring it to me now. Arguably, we made that happen in very short order. We were able to enable those operators, but it is literally tip of the spear for where we need to go in the future, and something we in SOCOM are calling the hyper-enabled operator. So if you're having difficulty flashing forward now with me, come forward with me to 2 weeks ago when I visited the New York City Police Department, which I'll offer shows you the shared nature of our security environment, our security threat. So 2 weeks ago, I went up to see the fusion cell in New York City and that amazing compressed mega city of security challenges. As I sat down with them that morning, literally their operating picture was coming to life with domestic incidents, shot fired, et cetera, across that city. What's more remarkable, and where I'd ask you to consider in terms of the future of where we're going, was how they're approaching the problem, but how far they have to go. So the good news is their first step, which truthfully we haven't emulated yet, and I'm a little bit envious, we got to catch up, is they provide an interface to every one of the 36,000 policemen on their force. So think of that. Every cop in New York City has an interface. It's a proprietary phone system. I'm not going to go there. You can guess which one it is, but the bottom line, more computing power than we've had, you know, for years in the past as the interface for those individual officers. Now, they'll tell you that they have the same problem that we do, that they have to compel their officers to take your phone with you, take your interface with you, and don't leave it in the lockup. But imagine 36 cops on a beat that have this phone interface. In support of that function, they've attempted to array all the data that those police officers need to do their job. And arguably, they share the same sort of approach that we do from a defense standpoint. Both all the domains, land, sea, air, and cyber, that they're trying to compete effectively for security. They have not gone, so you can understand the types and amounts of data that they are just pouring into the gonculator of information that policeman, he or she might need going to the scene of an episode. They have not leveraged crowdsourcing yet, nor have they really even scratched the itch for any machine learning approaches to make sense of all that data, but they're making the effort. They're piling it up. They're trying to enable their policemen. Where I thought they were actually a little less forward-leaning, but they suffer the same dilemma that we do in the military, is the application on that individual operator, on that policeman, in terms of helmet cams and body cams. Some of you know we suffered a very dire lesson in the downside of helmet cams recently in one of our combat locations. And clearly we're working to rectify that. It should not be used as leverage against us. But the potency of helmet cams and sensors on that individual, especially pertinent to the discussion we had yesterday, the approaches like Maven, where we're front-loading artificial intelligence onto those sensors, the potency of that is extraordinary. So think of it as the cop on the beat or the soldier on patrol who has all the information he or she needs ahead of time, or as much information as we can provide them with the most aggressive machine learning approaches possible to discern and figure out what they need to know, and then the ability to real-time see what they really aren't seeing in a crowded room or a crowded space by the help of these sensors. That's the art of the possible going forward, and certainly an area that we hope to work with them. So again, just a little epiphany that hit me within the last 2 weeks in terms of future opportunities.
That's SOCOM Commander General Raymond Thomas speaking at the GEOINT 2018 Symposium. Hear more after this short break. I'm Tom Temin.
Leidos is proud to support U.S. SOCOM and its mission to protect America's interests around the world. SOCOM's can't-fail missions can't afford anything less than the latest cutting-edge technology. That's why at Leidos, we develop adaptive and agile solutions, utilizing open systems architecture that rapidly integrates new innovations, ensuring special operations forces have the decisive advantage on the battlefield. At Leidos, we're helping SOCOM achieve mission success today and transform mission readiness for tomorrow. To learn more, visit leidos.com.
Changes to military practice can be difficult to execute. With so much reliance on tradition and institutional ways, telling volunteers they'll be using data to fight the wars of the future, well, you may not see that in recruitment ads. Speaking at the GEOINT 2018 Symposium this week, Special Operations Commander Raymond Thomas had more to say about the mindset required to implement new technologies.
So what does this take to get there? It takes a boldness that arguably we're not quite approaching. It takes getting over our fears. We have the people. More importantly, we have the opportunity right now. And if that's not compelling enough, our adversaries are already clipping along at an extraordinary rate to be there. And if to take it even one step further, how far do you think it will take for a totalitarian regime to take the applications of machine learning and cross them over into security approaches that we will suffer the burdens and the obstacles that Sue Gordon just described prior? We have to compete. Look around at this room and the people here in this conference. We have government GEOINT professionals, we have experts from academia, and we have folks on the ragged edge of development industry. The people are here. The people to solve this problem are already in the room. There's one missing link, and I ask you to continually and obsessively think about it, and that's the customer. Your linkage to the customer, I'd offer we're one of your most demanding customers, is key. At the risk of being the second person in a morning to quote Jeff Bezos, I would offer you need to have an obsession for your customer. So we need to build the teams with the right mix of people doing the right things. We need to make sure we are giving them the right authorities to do those things. And we need to ensure we are empowering them to find creative and innovative solutions. And as we seek solutions, we have to get over our fear of sharing information. Right now, information sharing is the coin of the realm for my force. as much or as important as being man-to-man with people out in the field is our ability to share information with them. And I'm very appreciative of our Director of National Intelligence for breaking through those barriers every day. We're sharing like we never have before. After all, finding solutions to our data problems won't be very helpful in making decisions or taking action if we can't share what we found because it sits on standalone or overclassified systems, or worst, we can't share it with partners who actually can take action. We need to also prepare to share with non-traditional partners, which again, we are on the leading edge of that every day. I think this community, which has come up with creative sharing solutions in the past, is optimally primed to do more in the future. So I'll close again by thanking you. Thanking all of you for historic levels of collaboration to get us to where we are today. And I look forward to even greater collaboration and success in the future. Thanks very much for your time.
Special Operations Commander General Raymond Thomas speaking at the GEOINT 2018 Symposium. Thomas also took some questions. Hear those after this break. I'm Tom Temin.
Leidos is proud to support U.S. SOCOM and its mission to protect America's interests around the world. SOCOM's can't-fail missions can't afford anything less than the latest cutting-edge technology. That's why at Leidos, we develop adaptive and agile solutions, utilizing open systems architecture that rapidly integrates new innovations, ensuring special operations forces have the decisive advantage on the battlefield. At Leidos, we're helping SOCOM achieve mission success today and transform mission readiness for tomorrow. To learn more, visit leidos.com.
After his speech at the GEOINT 2018 Symposium, Special Operations Commander General Raymond Thomas took questions from retired Lieutenant General Mary Legere, the former Deputy Chief of Staff for Intelligence at the Army.
One of the great pioneers of the use of open source intelligence, and you mentioned why. You partner by, with, and through this amazing global soft network. What has been the impact of your ability to share the products coming from the commercial industry or open source in terms of creating capital for your for this vision that you have of a connected nation or connected world of soft that do things the right way for the right purposes?
Indescribably powerful. So again, I'd go back to, you know, for years we were inclined not to share. I don't know what happened. And think of it, it happened in around the time of WikiLeaks and all the other stuff, so I thought, oh boy, we're gonna go backwards. But Dee and I actually went the opposite direction of need to know, as opposed to need to know, you know, a more restrictive need to know. And so the humorous, but thankful reaction from almost every one of our partners with whom we're allowed to share is first a little bit of anxiety on why are you sharing with me now what stuff you never did before? You know, what are you up to? What's the ulterior motive? And it's literally been, we've been holding some of this information excessively. And in many cases, you can do things. You have authorities, you have access, you have placement, or it's your country, even more important, and we're trying to enable you to do your security. It's the essence of by, with, and through. So why wouldn't we give it to you? It's incredibly powerful. And truthfully, while we still have restrictions in place, almost every day we're teeing up some nuanced approach that can we share? And I'm really jazzed that on almost every occasion we've found a way to say yes, that we've said, okay, you know, might always concern about sources and methods and things like that, which are sacrosanct, but yes, let's find a way to share here going forward. And it's been incredibly powerful. So that, I think, driven by the fact that we have shared adversaries, yes. with partners that you would think we would share to the utter degree.
I want to talk about AI, because you have said, I think you were asked if you could have anything, and it was a Super Bowl victory, and it was if you could have anything last year, what tech innovation would you like to have? Talk about what your command is trying to do with artificial intelligence. Where do you think you are? What help do you need?
Yeah, it's kind of a new passion for me, and I admit to seizing it late in life. I told you about the Eric Schmidt prod. I'm glad he did it because I probably would have sat back thinking that we were moving along a pace with everybody else, when in reality it just struck me that no, we're way behind in terms of where we should be when you think of the corporate approach. We are trying to adapt machine learning into everything we're doing. So a recent book that our former Director of Acquisition and Technology passed all of us that I commend to you, Machine Platform Crowd by McAfee, literally at the end of every chapter challenges you for why aren't you embracing this in your company? apropos to military organizations as well. And so we're trying to apply that across the board. But even an organization that prides itself in agility, which we do, I mean, just incredibly creative problem solving. And I don't have to compel innovation in my organization. I have to harness innovation because it's 83,000 problem solvers who all have, you know, great ideas and how do you put it into programs of record. But we are still, you know, somewhat hesitant to take the big leap into machine learning. Partly is the organizational part. So Google and Amazon, you know, these companies can organize for a purpose that's a little more tangible, concrete, or measurable than what we're trying to do, where we want to know everything for security applications and or humanitarian assistance. And so how do you bundle all that, tag it, you know, manage your data, and then get it into some sort of neural network to use it to enable that human being even better? It's a daunting problem left in the organizational sense, much not to mention years of admiring the problem of data that wasn't interchangeable. Good God, I mean, how many years did we go through new and better systems? The only caveat being it won't talk to the old system, and so you've relegated data to that trash heap of whatever. So you can tell. The interesting part of that book, and there, I think this is the problem for, and I'll acknowledge going in one chapter of that book, they talk about the hippo phenomenon. And if you've read the book, the hippo is the highest paid person's opinion. Now, I am not the highest paid person in SOCOM. There's a couple double dippers that are making a hell of a lot more money than I am. But the point being that highest paid person, the person he or she up in the executive office that's trying to chart the vision and the future for the organization, who are least inclined, don't speak the language, literally are struggling to understand, can barely turn on their phone, things like that. And so the quandary that we have, I know machine learning when I see it, I know the application, I can kind of conceptualize going to AI, and I draw a distinction for AI being at the point where the machine, that safe switch might be off, and the man or the woman is no longer in the override mode, and you might be going to a machine that is deciding and acting of its own volition. And truthfully, I think we got to embrace that because it may be of necessity if our satellites aren't working or if our comms aren't working, that your ultimate deterrent might be, I've got this in the lockup. If you disable my ability to talk and to communicate, I will still have the ultimate deterrent machine back here, and I think we just have to embrace that as the potential for the future. It's Skynet-ish, yep, but we have to kind of go with it. How we get there from here, and truthfully, in time, the Chinese are not sitting idly by on this stuff. I just saw a BBC.com article the other day. Some of you may have seen it, and I'm curious if it's their propaganda feeding BBC or what. But supposedly in a stadium of 61,000 people, and with all their closed circuit TVs and everything they've got, which is spooky, it's not our American way of life, certainly, they covered down on one individual and arrested that individual out of this crowd of 61,000 people. I'm curious, are they that advanced in facial recognition? Is that applicable for us going to the future? But more of concern is where are they gonna go as a totalitarian regime in terms of pushing that right into their military apparatus that will be more advanced than we are, potentially. We have got to compete there and not be considering the moment of whether machine learning is really something we're going to embrace.
Special Operations Commander General Raymond Thomas speaking at the GEOINT 2018 Symposium. You can also hear this episode online. Head to federalnewsradio.com and search Agency in Focus. I'm Tom Temin.
Thank you for listening to Agency in Focus, SOCOM, sponsored by Leidos on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. The entire program can be found on demand at federalnewsradio.com. Search Agency in Focus.